This is Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale on Equestrian Legacy Radio. Heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I am so glad our trails have crossed. Oh, the joy you bring to me. And as I look upon each face, such kindness there I see. I wish for you the love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Now go their separate ways, and life goes rolling on. I hope our trails will cross again before God takes us home. We share the wondrous love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Yes, as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Blessed trails.
Welcome to Blessed Trails. I am your host, Belinda Gale, and our show features interviews with wonderful guests, as well as gospel, inspirational, and patriotic music with a definite Western flair. My guest today is one of my longtime cowboy pastor friends, and I am so looking forward to learning a lot more about him. But first, let's listen to his rendition of Farther Along.
When we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Father, along we'll know all about it. Father, along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother.
That makes me think of camp meeting. Just love it. Well, I first met our guests today at the Western Music Association's annual convention, and I don't even remember what year it is right now. But I knew him initially as a performer, just a lovely human being, and I had a pretty good idea that he was a believer. But at first, I had no idea he was a cowboy pastor. And then I had the opportunity to work with him at the WMA's Cowboy Church, and he was the lead pastor, and of course all of us were doing the music. And oh, how impressed I was with him. I still am. His gentle spirit and his insightful wisdom always leave me feeling spiritually fed, and I love that. And I am delighted to welcome to our show Troy Bateson. Welcome, Troy.
Hey, Belinda, thank you, and thank you for the kind words. It's so good to be here and to hear your voice. I'm sorry we don't see each other more, and that Bob and Linda and all of the four of us can't be together more, but I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
I am so delighted to have you here. Now, I have to ask you, we're going to talk more about these guys later, but was that the Flying W Wranglers that were singing with you?
Those were men from the Flying W Wranglers. That was done in about 1996 when probably the core group that was there the longest were the men in that. It was done in the band leader's studio, a guy named Vern Thompson, and those were the guys behind me, yeah.
Wow.
I was very blessed.
Like
you said, we'll talk about that later, but I've been blessed to know them and musically blessed to have them around me and teach me a lot and help me a lot.
Oh, great guys, all of them. Well, I know Troy Bateson now, you know, the big grown-up cowboy pastor Troy Bateson. But I don't know the old we aren't going to go there. I really would love to hear more. But I realize I don't know anything about your early childhood, where you were born, how you were raised. I don't know any of that. So bring me up to speed a little bit.
I was born in 1943 in Dallas, Texas. I was born there, and I was a child of an unwed mother, and she left me in an orphanage home when I was about 6 weeks old. When I was about 7 months old, the man I'm named after, Troy Bateson Sr., came to the home. He and his wife, Lita, were childless, and by God's design and providence, I chose them, or they chose me. When I was 7 months old, I went home, and through the system and the way the thing works, I wound up with his name, and so I'm a junior, and was raised with them. Godly, 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 precious people, and they were up in years, a little older than what that normally occurs, and so I was raised with them. I always knew I was adopted. Well, I sort of always say this when this comes up. It was never a secret. It was never thrown up to me, but it was never a secret that I was sought after and loved and brought into that family by absolute choice. And so I was raised with these folks. We lived in Dallas till I was in college, left one college and moved to Marshall, Texas to go to East Texas Baptist College there and graduated from there. And then from then, just followed the Lord's leader. By that time, had recognized and accepted the call of the Lord to go into full-time ministry at that point. I don't think there's any other kind of ministry, actually. And so I served in churches for about 29 years. And then, well, I don't know how far you want to go with this, but, of course, obviously I've been married. We've been married 48 years this year, and so got a couple
of
children and all children. I don't like in-law, but children in-laws, and you know, I'm married into a very large family. Linda has three sisters, and we live next door to one, and then her son, who owns a little ranch and the stuff we were talking about earlier, the stock and stuff. So we live next door to that ranch, and it's a good thing. It's a fun thing, and God has been good. I entered music through the music school. I was taught music from the time I was very, very small. And then I did the degree at East Texas Baptist and then one at Southern Seminary later on. And so anyway, ask me questions. Girl, I can just rattle and say nothing. Talk to me. What else?
You know what? I'm interested. One thing that I always love to ask, I just about always ask my guests, is I'm really curious. I know that there's head knowledge of the Lord, and especially when you're raised in a Christian family, you just always know that there's a God and what you're the right and the wrong, and His Son is Jesus Christ who died for your sins, and all the practical, you know, we know all of that, or when you're raised in a family like that, but at some point you really understand and make the shift from just the head knowledge of God to the heart knowledge of God and the actual relationship with God. And do you remember that ever being a shift, or was it always there? Tell me about that.
No, I remember it as explicitly as if it was yesterday. being an adopted person, you sort of are sensitive to sort of that thing. Even as a child, you don't have adult language to express it, but I do. I was 7 years old. It was a Sunday night. I was in a large, large congregated church. Actually, the pastor was a friend of my folks, but it was not our home church. And I remember nothing he said, except I know from fact he was preaching on the trail of blood through the scripture. And I remember saying, this is for me. And I was 7 years old, and I was going to respond to the public invitation that night. And my mom put her arm around me and explained to me, and talked with me some more to make sure that they were comfortable with what I was doing. And then the next week back at our home church, I responded again to a public invitation. I remember that as clearly as if I were – if it happened yesterday, and it was a long yesterday, but our growth with the Lord Jesus is ongoing. I'm 71 years old. It's still ongoing, and every day it's a new and fresh journey and thing. But I remember that just as clear as a bell. It was what God did, and when you turn your head the wrong direction and look the wrong way, you have those kind of moments to come back to and say, "Oh no, I belong to Him. He is mine. I am His."
Mm-hmm. He sought me and bought me and brought me.
And there you go.
Yes.
You know, there's a passage, if I may, in 1 Corinthians 13, which we all call the love chapter, but the 12th verse basically says, "For now we see in a mirror." No, that's the wrong one. The Romans 8 passage is one I was looking at a minute ago, just because of the subject might come up. And in Romans 8, in about the 15th verse, it says, "We are adopted, for we didn't receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption as sons of God, to whom we cry, Abba, Father." When you can say that, and I understand it, having never known my birth parents, know nothing about them, and yet I've got a father that I've, till he passed on into glory, that I can call daddy, that I can call father. That resonates with me. And when you're an adopted person, that resonates, that passage. And that, you know, hey, this is real. This is really, really, really is true. And you can't get away from it. It's wonderful. I can keep preaching if you'd like.
we'll stop you there.
Okay. but it's been a wonderful journey, and God has been very gracious.
Excellent. So when did you, at what age were you when you felt the Lord's call on your life to actually become a pastor, to go into the ministry? I mean, we all
19.
Have our own ministries. I agree. 19. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I was 19. I was in school in Arlington, Texas, in college, and knew for a fact that this was not for me. Two reasons: I'm not an engineer, and I was trying to be. And the second thing was that God had been dealing with me over a period of time. It's one of those, you know, we always say this moment, but he'd been dealing with me. Surrendered to that, lots of prayer at that point, as a 19-year-old Christian understands that, and went into the music side of pastoring. My primary pragmatic responsibilities were the music in various churches for the next 29 years. And so, and then went through licensing and ordination. Would occasionally speak or teach, but my responsibility was the music and sometimes youth programs. And it was it was wonderful. I was 19 and really been done nothing else. Like you say, we all have the ministry, and I don't believe there is such a thing as a not being, if you're called and set aside to do this, as so many, including yourself and everybody else, you really, you know, what you do for a day job is quite irrelevant anyway. And so we pursued it ever since, and I don't know how far you want to go with this, but I served for 29 years in local churches. And go ahead, hon.
Yeah. I was just thinking it was about time for us to listen to a song.
Okay.
And we're going to do that. And so I love it when I get preachers on, because I never have to worry about saying too much. You know, I mean, I
there
can just kind of turn you guys loose and let you go. but we're going to listen to God's Footstool. And is this a song that you wrote, Troy?
This is a song I wrote. The some of the songs we'll hear today, because you sent me a list, and I appreciate the ones you chose, are based on, if I can take 2 seconds right here, are based on paintings that are either in our family or hang in our home by Bruce Green. Bruce is a past president of Cowboy Artists of America, lives in Clifton, Texas, fabulous Christian man, and he and his wife, Janie. And this one is a taken right out of Isaiah 66:1, which the Lord says, "The heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool." He painted this painting, and out of that painting came this song called God's Footstool.
Wow. Well, let's listen to God's Footstool.
Riding through waving golden leaves, fragrant scents drift on mountain breeze. Laughing waters run with careless ease, God's footstool in the evergreen. God is here on the high mountain, His throne among golden trees, His voice clear in whispering waters, riding on the forest trail of peace. Soft as the color of the rainbow, gentle as the morning sun, quiet as the evening moonlight, hearts cry out, life has begun. Hearts sing like dancing waters, spirits soar like whispering wind, souls gleam like clear streams flowing, riders praise the King of Kings. Riding through waving golden leaves, His footsteps
evergreen, riding on the forest trail of peace, riders praise the King of Kings. Riders praise the King of Kings.
Oh, that's lovely. I could just see that, Troy. You did a great job on that song.
Well,
that's
thank
nice.
You. You're very kind. You know, it's funny.
Really
I was sitting
nice.
Here listening to this. I live on your Granite Mountain album. You've got the song that you did called Along the Buffalo. And I'm living less than about 40 miles south of the Buffalo River here where I live. And I thought, wait a minute. She knows what I'm talking about. She just did that. she wrote it.
I just did that. I do. I know that. In fact, I'm going to be back in your neck of the woods in September. I'm going to be singing at Silver Dollar City. And
okay.
So I definitely intend to go ride the buffalo again. Absolutely.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll try and find you while you're here.
I will find you. One or the other,
okay.
For sure.
One or the other. It was a good song. It's a beautiful painting. The painting is a lone cowboy on sort of a misty day, and he's on the shoulder of a giant mountain with his dog bringing the cattle out of the high. You, having lived out west where you live, you understand bringing the cattle down from the high country to the winter pastures. And that's what
absolutely. Cool. Absolutely. That's the truth. Well, let's go ahead and kind of fast forward. So you've spent your years as a music minister in various churches. And so what brought you to the Flying W Wranglers? Tell me about what brought you to them and then what those years were like. I'd love to hear about that.
The Flying W Wranglers, for those folks who may not know, the Flying W Wranglers are the second oldest Western singing group in the world. They're still functioning after 60 years. Of course, the Sons of the Pioneers are the oldest continual group. Flying W, Chuck Wagon is in Colorado Springs, and I was serving in the church, Woodman Valley Chapel, there on staff. And we decided at the church, the senior pastor and myself, that we wanted as many of our people off the road on a Labor Day weekend as possible. Accidents were phenomenal, as we all know. So we provided, as a church, a free steak dinner for everyone who would be at church. We had over 700 people take advantage of that on the first Sunday we did it. And I had just visited for the first time at the Flying W Chuck Wagon a few weeks earlier. So I went to Vern Thompson. I asked him if they would come and sing. We had church service. We fed everybody lunch on the Sunday of Labor Day weekend, and then the Wranglers did a show. He shared with me then something I knew nothing about. Their schedule is the summer of the flight at the Chuck Wagon. Now, we have lost that Chuck Wagon. The Waldo Canyon fire in Colorado Springs several years ago burned that Chuck Wagon to the ground, and the Wranglers are now on the road. It's a different one, different group, different personnel. And anyway, I asked Vern, would you come? Would you do a show? He said, be glad to. They were there. And during that show and getting to know him right then, this is, I had no idea what God was doing. He didn't either. But he said, would you come out and pray with us occasionally? We work every night of the week for 128 straight nights without a break, sometimes doing two and three shows a day. And I said, sure, I'll be glad to. So I did. Out of that, we ended up with about 25 or 26 years of me being the unofficial, not paid on staff. The Wolf family who owns the ranch, were very, very supportive of what we did, but I was never a staff member at the Flying W. I was never in the band. But I would go out, and we would have prayer together. In the ensuing years, I did some funerals. I did several weddings for several children and a couple of the Wranglers themselves. And over the years, pretty well, in a sense, was the band pastor. It was a marvelous experience for me out of a small side trail to that is. It helped me grow musically. I had back into music I grew up with as a child. And so I just was there for them. Out of that group now, primarily the ones you're here singing, those pastors, those men now, three of them are pastors. Vern Thompson and Joe Stevenson, pastor the Colorado Cowboys for Jesus Cowboy Church in Colorado Springs. And there's another cowboy church called Church on the Ranch that Scott Vaughn pastors. And in fact, I did Scott and Cindy's wedding 29 years ago now. So it was one of those things. Got to know their children, got to know their family. We went through some tough times. You know, by the end of that 128 days, they are just exhausted. They are exhausted mentally and just phenomenally. And all of them either led a couple of them to the Lord over the years of different personnel. Three of the men were there for 23 and 29 years. 29 would be Scott and Vern, and 23 would be a guy named Wes English. And the rest, we had some personnel changes, but one of them didn't know the Lord. I got to lead him to the Lord, and all we could go. So they were wonderful to receive me. I did Bible studies, which had to be short. Believe it or not, I can be short. But we'd have about anywhere from 5 to 7 minutes before showtime on nights. I worked on the ranch as a staff member for 7 years, helping folks get out of their cars and across the parking lot and into the chuck wagon itself and all that. So I did 7 years of 128 straight nights, just like they did, and I did it for the specific purpose of understanding what they go through and what their families went through. So we did go through some very, very struggles in marriage, the marriages of the families. Linda and I came to the point of understanding that. And by the time I did that 7-year stretch of my employment, our children were up and gone, but a great many of their children were not up and gone. And so it was one of those genuine pastoral things that if you'd have asked me, was I ever going to do anything even remotely like that, I'd have said no, but God had a greater plan. And I grew as much or more than they did. So, wow. And it's ongoing. I keep up with them. I know them. You were a part of this when you were on the board. We inducted the Flying W Wranglers into the WMA Hall of Fame, and Ronnie Cook was the present band leader. The band was the present band leader when they were inducted, and I still keep up with him and do a great Christian man. And so, anyway, that's the story in as big a nutshell as I can find. And it's still good. The guys are still on the road. David Bradley is the current band leader of the Flying W Wranglers. David was the Sons of the Pioneers for years, and with them, and the fabulous yodeler guy, and you got
phenomenal.
Three guys with him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you know David?
Wow. I do know David, yes. And he's a phenomenal
so you
yodeler.
Know, yeah. Anyway, that's the story on the Wranglers. And
well, cool. It's a cool story. I had no idea.
The Wolf family are Christian people, and Mr. Wolf, who founded that whole industry, not just one chuck wagon, Russ turned 90 years old about 4 days ago, so he's still up and quite active.
Wow. That's inspiring. That's wonderful.
Yes, believe it. It very much so is. Very much.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, one of the things that I love about Western music, about the genre, about the poetry, are the wonderful stories and the poetry. And you have a series of things on your album that I just love, where you're actually speaking. You know, these wonderful stories. And this particular one really jumped out at me, called Hitchhiker, and it really. It's a story about a cowboy going after a calf that's lost, but it really harkens to the biblical story of the shepherd leaving the 99 to go find the one that's lost. And
I love that.
And so tell me about this song or this story.
Hitchhiker is another Bruce Green painting, and now hangs in our son's home in California. It is a very dark, gray winter scene, and old cowboy coming back. He and his horse are struggling up out of the canyon, and they've got a little newborn calf slung across the saddle. They're bringing it up. And we bought the painting, and we had it hanging in their home. And one day I'm sitting there wondering, I need to write a song. And I wrote this song, which was really very bad musically, but I liked what we did with it, so it turned into a story. And it's based on Matthew 18, verse 12, which says, you know, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And, of course, the answer is yes. The story goes on. And you were exactly that. I just really wanted to represent, I do this a lot, I wanted to represent our Lord's word in a genre that people can relate to and understand without violating the word and the story and the essence of the truth. And so that's where Hitchhiker came from. And I've seen that happen. You've seen that happen. And that's where it came.
Well, let's listen to Rimrock Canyon, Hitchhiker.
I'm standing at the corral, feeling the Caprock Canyon wind cold on my face. I'm checking my tally of the cattle brought in ahead of the storm. Old Hitchhiker the Bull is staring straight back at the canyon like he was remembering another night like this. On that night long ago, we had gathered in the herd ahead of a storm on our new place, and Stella had gone to the house to get supper on. Patches was at the gate. She was bawling and looking straight back at the caprock. Stella came out and said, "She must be calling for her calf." But I thought my tally came to 100 head. I counted again. Sure enough, there was just 99. It was cold, and the wind was starting to blow out of the canyon and down the caprock right at the ranch. But I saddled up because these cows were all Stella and I had to make this place go. We needed all 100 head, not just 99. The wind was bitter, and the snow was beginning to drift. And Ned didn't like it one bit, but a lot of talking and a little spur, and he carried me out over the rim. This was a crazy, fool thing to do, and I said so out loud. Ned, he looked back at me like he agreed, but we needed that calf, and I suppose he needed us. Stella and I had been married just past a year, and she was carrying our first child. I guess maybe she understood Patches better than I did. Still, it was cold, savage, and death was blowing on the wind. And for a spell, I thought maybe we ought to be satisfied with 99. Ned was slipping and sliding on the snow and ice as we went down into that dark canyon gloom. The canyon was usually filled with life, but now nothing moved, and it was wild with wind and snow. Finding that little lost calf was going to take a miracle. We kept picking our way around brush and rocks and such, just trying to find our way along. There were no tracks left. Then all of a sudden, the sky cleared. The moon came out, and it got still as a church. Ned heard it first, a weak, sort of pleading sound. He turned toward it, and we fought our way around the boulders and scrub, trying to locate that lonesome cry. We finally found the little lost one curled up under the sage and snow, trying to keep warm. We started home as the storm picked up again, but the going was easier as we drifted toward the corral with the wind. The little lost one was so weak, well, Ned and I had to carry him. By the time we reached the place, that little lost hitchhiker was a-bawling and a-singing like he was king of the range, and it felt good to see the light of the house, the warmth of home. The cold canyon wind is hitting my face. An old hitchhiker staring out over the gate at the caprock, and I wonder if he is remembering that bitter night long ago. The place is paid up. Now it's Stella's, the boy's, and mine. But it wouldn't be ours if we'd been content with 99.
Ooh, I love that, Troy.
It was that's one of those sayings that you think the Lord gave me that. I don't know if I could ever do another one that one like that one. But that was a fun one. It's hard to do if you don't do it often though. Try doing it live sometimes. Just you can get it twisted around. But it was a fun thing. I can imagine.
But you know, as I was listening to it, I was thinking, gosh, that would be a great CD, have a whole CD of that kind of stuff and just driving down the road and listening to it, you know, when you're on road trips. So.
I would love to do someday everybody's going to do another album this year, you know, one of those things, but I would love to do a CD of poetry and settings like that. Some of our friends, your dear friends of yours and I both, they do just straight what we call poetry, but I love poetic stories, and I would love to do it. Red Steagall does such a wonderful job of that. He's my hero in that particular thing and all of that. You can see, I know you have a copy of The Story Singer, which is the album that is on. If you'll, inside that cover of that album are all the paintings except one. The Outlaw John painting is not pictured, but all the paintings are pictured inside. We took pictures of them and were able to post them inside or put them in the liner notes of the CD. So that all those paintings are in there. It was a wonderful thing to do. It was a wonderful thing to do.
Well, it was lovely, and I was just so right there, the whole story. So that was really, I hope our listeners enjoyed it as much as I did. I've listened to it like 3 or 4 times now, and I just love it, love it, love it. So, gosh, so you were with the Wranglers and their unofficial, official pastor for a long time. And right. So now you have relocated to Arkansas, Missouri?
We stayed. We're in Arkansas.
Arkansas.
But,
yes.
You know, I call us on the eastern edge of the West is where we are. And it's another one of those interesting, wonderful things. We have moved back to family. We lived in the West for 40 years. It's almost to the month. And serving in churches and stuff. And then after I left Woodman Valley Chapel, I stayed with the Wranglers as band pastor for a while and was working for Campus Crusade for Christ and traveling for them and producing for them some events. And then after that, Belinda and I took a long break to just sort of take a three-month vacation, and then I came back, had been wanting to really get into Western music, had been dabbling with it, and discovered the WMA, and wound up. The first thing I remember about you and I meeting that I remember, do you remember what year it was that you and I
don't.
About 60 hairy-legged cowboys holding Taylor guitars and one lovely lady, and you were that lady. And we took that in a hotel, a picture of that, the Taylor guitar stuff in a hotel in Tucson where the event was. So whatever year
you know what? That had to have been in 2000. That was in 2000.
Okay, then I probably joined 2 years earlier. One year they were supposed to have been downtown and lost the hotel and they had to be on a motel. And where we made Barry and Victoria Ward. And, anyway, that's my first. But we've been traveling this trail quite a ways, girl. And
yes, we have. Yes, we have. Wow,
well, we moved
all the way back to 2000.
One of us. We moved to Arkansas last May, in May of 14. After we stayed in the Springs for Colorado Springs for all the time, traveling, doing shows and stuff, and then sort of took a hiatus to move here. Felt definitely we needed to be here back. Now, like I said, I'm an adopted guy. Both of my parents are home with the Lord, so Linda's family is here. We're within 3 hours of all of her family. She's got three other sisters, and we live next door to one of them. I came here to semi-retire, to play with Mark's horses, to keep writing and singing where I could, and wound up playing now in a band in one of the largest cowboy churches that I've ever seen, and a very unique thing called Crossroads Cowboy Church. And so I'm a band member again. I'm not the leader, but I'm playing with them, and God is using that, and we're having a marvelous time getting to do some things. I'm available to the senior pastor to go to nursing homes and stuff like that, and still doing singing where I'm invited and where I get a chance to. We're far away from our children and grandchildren, so we do get to do long road trips because one set lives in New Mexico, the other set in California. But we are here. It is just a marvelous thing, and it's one of those things that you just go, well, okay, what am I doing now? And I have had life verse that I have had ever since that 19-year-old boy surrendered to the Lord. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will straighten out your paths. And I thought, man, has he ever done that? I would have never dreamed. I lived in Arkansas. I'm a Texas boy. Hello. And the second thing is I would have never lived that I've been back, much less playing in a band, playing guitar and singing in the background of a band and watching a church. We have about 400 on Sunday. And we have the only legal PRCA rodeo arena attached to the church, built for the church. And the church is in one end of it and inside of it. And our senior pastor is a former bull rider, PRCA. And so it's another one of those God things that just fits what we're doing right now. And we hope to keep going. And we're having a good time. So
it
I don't know what
marvelous.
I...
Yeah. Well, you know what? I really enjoyed. You were in charge of the Cowboy Church at the Western Music Association annual convention for several years, and I really, really loved the way you handled that. Do you see yourself doing Cowboy Church, or maybe going, you know, like guest speaking at some of the Cowboy churches at all, Troy?
I played in this band. I will go where, you know, God leads and I'm invited. I would always love to do that. But this has been a major year of transition. We live back in tornado country, and we live in Bologna, Arkansas. The tornado that pretty well destroyed the town went through exactly 1 week to the hour before we moved into our home. And so we had a little damage here, and we've added what we call a safe room down here, a little place to go hide. So, excuse me. But, yes, I still want to do that. The format that we use at Cowboy Church in at the WMA is a good one in that there's so many people can be involved as opposed to just three or four personalities involved at one point in during the church.
Right.
Without being lame, we have so many people can offer us poetry, scripture, and you're going to have to excuse me, poetry and scripture as well as songs. I will just say it. It sounds like I'm just keep going, but I was able to do it when the WMA went through some hard times and we came out of that, and the president at the time, John Messenger, asked me, and Rick Huff, they asked me to host it. We switched it to this format from a more traditional format where everybody could share. We could take a couple of hours and let folks do that. And I think it's gone well. And the guy now, Steve Harrington's got it now, has continued that format and basically. And it's been a wonderful time. I love doing that format. I do what I call a teaching concert where we do the same thing, except I'm the only music there is usually. And well, I'm just going to do this. And so where we share just scripture and then sing songs about that scripture. And, again, it's that kind of basic format where it's mostly music and the Word of God. And it's gone well.
Good. Excellent. Well, we're going to go to another song. You can catch a drink of water.
I just did.
Yeah, okay, good. And tell us about this next song. I think it's another one maybe you have written. I didn't notice it on the liner notes, but it's Already Lonesome.
Already Lonesome is a song, another Bruce Green painting. An old cowboy is up on a ridgeline in the middle of the winter, looking back down into the valley, and he can see his house and see a little light glowing in the window. And I looked at that painting is hanging in the living room in here, and I looked at that song, and I thought, I don't know this, but maybe as he stepped through the gates of heaven, Jesus looked back and went, I'm going to miss this. I'm going to miss this. And the line where the stars are like candles in the window. While he was home, while he was wandering in the wilderness, did Christ look back at the stars and go, that's home. That's home. I want to go home. My daddy is there. My father is there. So that's where Already Lonesome came from, was this old cowboy having to go back out and go to work and leaving his home behind. That's what already, and he was already lonesome. Bruce painted it. Bruce sent title. I took Bruce's direct painting title off of that for Already Lonesome.
Wow. Wow. Well, let's listen to Already Lonesome.
I walked out the ranch house door. Started on my way, cattle out there bawling, seems like they lost their way. Got to round them up now before they start to stray. I'm already lonesome, the price I have to pay. I'm already lonesome, leaving on Christmas Eve, left behind the home I love, gotta help those in need. Candles in the window glow like stars above. I'm already lonesome, leaving on Christmas Eve. On his way, people down there calling, seems like they lost their way. Got to round them up now, lest they go astray. He's already lonesome, the price Christ had to pay. He's already lonesome, leaving on Christmas Eve. Left behind his
place home above. God help those in need. Stars glow like candles in a window pane. He's already lonesome, leaving on Christmas Eve. Wandering drifters out there, waiting for him to come. Lonely lost ones out there, needing gathering Christmas Eve. Left behind his home above. God help those in need. Stars glow like candles in a window pane. He's already lonesome, leaving on Christmas Eve.
Oh, that's so nice. Oh, gosh, Troy. I can see the painting. I don't even have the painting in front of me, but I can almost see what you're talking about. That's, you did a really beautiful job painting the picture with words. That was wonderful.
Thank you, dear. Thank you. You're very kind. You're very kind indeed.
Well, I really loved your life verse. I mean, that's a very familiar verse, but I really like the idea of it, and that just really making that your own and taking it as a guidance for your life. And just, you know, as a pastor, I would really love for you just to take a couple of minutes here and just share with us about your thoughts about, you know, staying the course and trusting the Lord through difficult times and through times when you just really have no idea where the Lord's taking you, but, you know, just keeping on. You know, what advice would you give to Christians out there that are maybe struggling or not too sure what's around the corner? What would you say to them as a pastor right now?
Lordship, kingship. It's a thing that we must do every day. I came to the Lord, saving grace and knowledge of Him when I was 7. I'm 71, but I still every day must be His, not mine. John the Baptist said it in John the 3rd chapter in the 30th verse. He says, "He must increase that I must decrease." If you want peace in your heart, let God be in control. And that's a faith walk, and that's a walk that has to be His. He has to be. I always tell some of my military friends sometimes, you know, we don't like kings real well in this country. We rebelled against the king, but he has to be king. If he cares for us, he knows everything we need. He knows everything more than we will ever need. He knew us before we were in our mother's womb. And if we will surrender to that and let him have that and continue every day, every hour, be his, not ourselves, then he will open doors that you would never, ever believe. Sometimes just doors to peace and quiet, and sometimes with real opportunity to speak to friends and loved ones and family or a whole group of people, no matter what size, about him. He opens doors of friendship and love. He gave me my wife. He gave me my children. He gives me my friends. He gives me Bob and Belinda. He gives me Barry and Victoria. He gives me my nieces and nephews here, Mark and Rebecca Milliken. On and on I could go, and they're just people after people after people, the Wranglers, all the people we've talked about for the last hour, that God will give you those if you will let him do it. But the minute I want to take charge, I want to saddle my own bronc, I want to pull myself up with my own bootstraps, he'll let me do that, and he'll catch me when I fall. But if I let him do it, we're already, and the peace that comes with that, when you realize, okay, you do this, God. You be in charge. I'll just wait on you, and I'll fly with the eagles. or I can run with the turkeys, mm-hmm. either one you want to. So, you know, it's just weird. So, Isaiah 40, I can fly with eagles if I wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
That's about all I would have for you, girl. I'm trying to do it every day. I'm just me. I just try and do it, you know. And that goes for our brethren who don't put on cowboy hats every day, you know.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
You know, it's far beyond just being us. It's for our folks that we're around us. One of the things that I know you do, I've already known that for that too many years, and everybody else, and I see it on so many of our friends and loved ones in our world, our Western music world and Western poetry world, Western art world, is that we want to use this art form that we have, this genre that we have, for folks outside that world, if they don't ever put on a cowboy hat, that they know Jesus, that they mm-hmm. understand these folks are genuine. These folks really do love God. I do. Why? And then we get to tell them. Anyway, that's what I would say to them.
Well, that's excellent advice. Now, I'm curious, and I'm going to put you on the spot here, because I can. It's one thing to say to just trust the Lord or just give it to Him. Do you have any really practical advice about how one does that for the person who's like, okay, that sounds good, but how do I do that? I mean, I don't even know that there's an answer to that, Troy. I'm just wondering, you know, what do you have, like an exercise that you go to, or a scripture that you go to, or a mind shift that you employ to make that happen, from a practical sense?
Prayer, as far as right now in my world where I live, in my being alive at this point in the journey. Prayer. You can't spend too much time in prayer. You can do too many repetitive prayers, isn't it? But prayer. But I go back, because this is a rediscovery of a passage for me, in the last year or two, of John the Baptist, where when I look at John the Baptist, here was a guy that had the world by the tail. I mean, he was the evangelist. He was sort of an outlaw. There's another song called Outlaw John that's about him. He was an outlaw, but he had the whole world coming out to see what he was up to. He had the attention of the general populace of his part of the planet. And in one moment, his cousin shows up, and all that's gone. All that's gone. And he had to come to that verse I quoted a moment ago in John 3:30, that he had to decide that day, that hour, answering those people. There were people put the question to him about baptism. He said to decide that he, meaning Jesus, has to increase and I must decrease. And that's a thing that I have to say every day, every day.
Mm.
He must, whether I'm writing a song, and it doesn't always have to be a song directly gospel. It can be about riding my horse over the mountain, if you will. But it still has to be him. It can't be Troy first. Now, the Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul. Love thy neighbor as thyself. You're supposed to be aware of who you are in Christ. We don't deny ourselves, like beat ourselves and become some kind of a doormat. But we do have to do it with his glory in mind. And then he will lift us up as he has a chance. 1 Thessalonians somewhere in there, I don't have the scripture in front of me, where he says, you know, do your job and do what he's called you to do and gifted you to do, and he will lift you up in due time. But he will lift you up in a way that you can share him. And so it's a conscious decision. I really say, what do I do practically? It's a conscious decision, Belinda. Every time I want to do something, it has to be for his glory.
I really agree with prayer. It's like, how can you hear from the Lord? How can you get direction if you're not listening? If you're not in tune? If you're not communicating? And so, I really resonates with me that you can't just go about your day, be leading and guiding you every step if you're not even listening to him. And gosh, I just feel so out of sorts when I have to get up like 0:30 and catch a plane or something, and I don't take that few minutes to just get quiet before the Lord and to spend a little time with him to start my day out. It's just the whole day feels kind of disjointed. So I totally agree with you that prayer is how you, the practical thing that you can do, just sit down. And if you don't know what to say, if you don't even know what to pray, because I've been where I didn't even, everything was such in such a whirl, I didn't even know where to start. I didn't even know how to pray or what to pray. Just be still. Just be still before the Lord and allow Him to just fill you with His peace. And the direction will come. It will come.
You bet. The Scripture says that the Holy Spirit takes our prayers and He interprets them to the Father. That's the first thing. The second thing is, you're exactly right. What none of us do a lot is listen. Just put everything down. Stop. Don't read a Bible study. Don't listen. And the third thing is, I'm trying to be on our practical side. If you're not in the daily in the Word, if you're not in the Holy Scripture, you're not going to hear the voice of God, because He's not going to tell you one thing. It's not in that book. And if you don't take the time, I used to tell my kids when they were small, they would have a little time to read, recreational read. I said, if you have 30 minutes to read, 16 minutes of it needs to be the Word of God. And I haven't always achieved that. I'm not holding myself up as some example. I have not always achieved that. But, if you're not in the Word, and if you're not in prayer, and if you're not, and then what you said, if you're not listening, just being still and listening, it won't happen.
I agree. And there's really no excuse to not be in the Word these days, because I literally have a Bible app on my phone.
Me too. I have got two copies.
It's called YouVersion. And I can, I was spending a lot of time in airports the last few days. And I just whipped that out and fired up that app, and I could just sit there and be in the Word in the middle of, the airport. So, or the doctor's office or wherever. So there really is no, you don't have to tote your Bible around with you. You've got it in your little phone.
I do that. One of the things that's good for all of us who do what we do, I have it's in the iPod, but I have a section of it in my phone. There's a thing called the Word of Promise, which is a complete radio show. Here we are. Radio show of the Word of God, the New King James Version, read by some of the most phenomenal actors and actresses on the planet. The whole Bible. And if sometimes it's good to listen to it. It's called the Word of Promise. They have a website, wordofpromise.com. I'm not associated with them. I'm not affiliated with them. But I was literally, sometimes when I'll read a passage, I just finished the book of Isaiah. It's a nighttime reading thing. And I would go back and punch the iPod right quick and listen to that chapter that I'd read on the iPod. It's marvelous. But you're right. We have every way. There's no excuse for not being in the Word at this point. There's some way to get a hold of it.
There is. Well, we're not chastising anybody. We're just encouraging people.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely. That's why I said you're not talking to the expert here as far as practical use. There are days I go, oh, man, I don't have time to read. Oh, yes, you do. So, anyway.
Oh, gosh. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Troy. And do you have a website or any way people can get in touch with you if they want to get a hold of your music?
The best way to do it, I'm going to literally give my cell phone number on the air, because that's the best way. It's 719-322-8149. That's the best way to get a hold of me. I do not have a website. I'm listed on the WMA Performers. 719-322-8149. And then they can go to the WMA website, westernmusic.com, and they can, for all of us, are listed under the performer section. They can get a hold of me that way, too.
Absolutely. Well, bless your heart. Thank you so much for being with us. And we're going to close with, I think it's your song, Gentle Shepherd. Is this also from one of the paintings?
No, this is Bill Gaither's song, Gentle Shepherd, one of my heroes in gospel music. And we just went ahead and put it on the album. And for our folks out there listening, and for yourself and Bob, know that Linda and I love you all very much.
Thank you so much, and God bless you, Troy, and we will see you in September.
All right, dear. We'll be there.
Bye-bye. Let's listen to Gentle Shepherd.
Bye-bye.
Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way. Gentle Shepherd, come and
to feed us, for we need your strength from day to day.
Oh, that was lovely. It was so fun having Troy on the show today. And as I was praying about the show and was asking the Lord to lead me to a scripture, just in true God fashion, he just brought me to a scripture that really just ties in everything that we talked about today. And that's in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And so I would just encourage all of you to just, you know, stand firm, be steadfast, just continue seeking the Lord no matter what's going on around you. Just do whatever you lay your hand to with the best of your ability as unto the Lord, and the Lord will lead you and guide you in where you're to go, and it will all work out, and his will be accomplished. And so delighted you could join us this week, and looking forward to next week, and just thank you for the time to be here with us. And remember that these podcasts are always available online that you can listen to later. And so until next weekend, blessed trails.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Pride. There's tide. There's wonderful power